You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iron. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. So come over to the site now, check out what we've got there, your week one fallout, the week two look ahead. It's already time to do that. We have games in the books here, and that's what we're going to do. And we're going to dive in quickly here on Locked On Fantasy Football. It's another Roundup Monday. The takeaways, our first of the season here in 2018. And this is how we do it. If you have not listened to the podcast before, we look at every game, the most important takeaways from both sides. So we break it down. We're going to have a special guest next week to help us on Mondays there as we continue to upgrade Experts Edition. But for now, we will look at all the games that transpired in week one through Thursday and Sunday, and look a little ahead to Monday and break those games down tomorrow for you there, the fallout there. So we'll also have our special guest, Eric Edholm, to break down the waiver wire interest of week two there. A lot of injuries and things like that we'll talk about here in the show. So let's go into the first game of the week. It was the Falcons and the Eagles, and this was a disappointment for the most part for fantasy, unless you had Julio Jones. Didn't score in the red zone. They give him opportunities. Very inefficient. 19 targets. Matt Ryan was definitely off and a definite concern here with the struggles. No TDs, had an interception, just looked off. But Julio Jones still got his 10 targets, 169 yards, or 10 catches on 10 targets for 169. So very good game. Him, Tevin Coleman got the touchdown there for the Falcons. So disappointing, but it's the Eagles' defense there. Still a work in progress with Steve Sarkisian. Devonta Freeman, disappointing with a little banged up. It looked like he was fully healthy from the knee injury, but Coleman got the touchdown there. Not more particularly effective there. Coleman had 10 touches for 45 yards, so not too much there when you look at Freeman had 50 yards on 9 touches. So just a tough matchup there all around. But I think the takeaway from the Falcons is you just can't assume they're going to be year two of Sarkisian like year two of Kyle Shanahan. It's just going to be work in progress. Could be a lot of what we saw last year. And you chalk it up a little bit to the Eagles matchup. On the Eagles side of things, Nick Foles struggled against a pretty good Falcons defense, had interception and no TDs there. Zach Ertz, it took a while for him to get going, but he had 5 catches for 48 yards. Not the best game for Ertz. Had some drops there that contributed to some issues. 10 targets there. Nelson Aguilar had 10, caught 8 for 33. But the concern there is Foles. He doesn't look sharp. Again, Falcons defense, Eagles defense, you got to take that a little bit into consideration here. With Jay Ajayi, that was nice to see that they gave to him in scoring position. Darren Sproles did get some red zone touches and snaps, but Jay Ajayi looked pretty good here. 15 carries, 62 yards, and a pair of scores. So at least they're trusting him to finish drives here, which is a great sign if you're an Ajayi owner going forward. But we really need Carson Wentz back, and we really need some favorable matchups. I think that will start in week two with the Eagles taking on the Buccaneers, which will get to later. We flip now to the Sunday games. The Vikings beat the 49ers 24-16. Kirk Cousins, solid debut. That's what you're looking for in a lot of games. 244 yards, 2 TDs. Solid. They got Adam Thielen, 6 catches, 102 yards, all 12 targets, so that connection not as good. Stephon Diggs only needed 6 targets, but caught 43 in TDs. So kind of what you expect, that their numbers are going to be similar in different ways, with Thielen being maybe the better PPR consistency play here. But Dalvin Cook also looked good, but with that 40 yards rushing and 55 receiving, a good all-purpose day, they still got Latavius Murray in there, an early down to spell him, 11 carries for 42 yards. So I think Cook's role will expand, but it's good to see that Cousins It's creating better opportunities there for Thielen and Diggs, and Kyle Rudolph as well, who had a short touchdown. So things playing out what we expect for the Vikings, even with their offensive line issues. And that's good. Something normal that happened in fantasy. Jimmy Garoppolo, we told you to bench him there, and that came to fruition. Three interceptions, including a pick six, only one TD, only 15 of 33. So really tough Vikings defense. Don't start your quarterbacks against the Vikings. That's the takeaway here. With the 49ers, Marquise Goodwin was banged up in and on the lineup, had Xavier Rhodes to deal with anyway, so he was not there on the stat sheet. No catches. Pierre Garçon, 2 for 21. But Garoppolo did spread it, try to find some guys. George Kittle looked healthy and very productive here. 5 catches, 90 yards on 9 targets. So if he's unowned with some injuries there, tight end, George Kittle is an excellent target for you this week. And looking at Dante Pettis, got involved, long touchdown there, 2 catches, 61 yards, a rookie. Kyle Juszczyk as well with a big catch. So there are going to be some better days for Jimmy Garoppolo in much better matchups. This is just the worst possible one for him, and the numbers and the loss all showed up there. It's going to get better. In the backfield, I think Matt Breida, Alfred Morris will still be a split. I think the game flow really hurt here and the matchup as well. So you got to take all the 49ers stuff with a very limited view here and not be overplaying it. Our next game is the Colts and the Bengals, as we said. And the Colts lose this game 34-23. As we expected, Andy Dalton had a solid game, non-prime time on the road against a weak defense. 243 yards, 2 TDs. Did have a pick there. Could have been a little bit bigger, but wasn't bigger because Joe Mixon had a nice role as well. Broke out nicely with 95 rushing yards on 17 carries. Also had 5 catches for 54. So Joe Mixon looking every part of the feature back going forward. John Ross, it was nice to see him, even though one catch there on 2 targets made one of them count for a short touchdown. AJ Green looking fantastic is here. As you expect, 6 catches on 8 targets for 92 yards on the team. Playing the Ravens next week, a little bit harder all around for these guys, but Bengals offense definitely has some flow and predictability there with Bill Lazor in that offense, and they're going to take advantage of these bad matchups away from primetime. The Colts side of things, Andrew Luck's back, 2 TDs, 319 yards there, high volume, 53 attempts, only sacked twice, spread the ball around great. Jack Doyle, they could have probably scored one more touchdown going in, but he had a fumble. That was unfortunate for Doyle owners. Caught 7 of 10 targets for 60 yards. Solid for him. Eric Ebron was also solid. 5 targets. Caught 4 for 51 and a TD. So Doyle and Ebron are going to be involved there as the receivers right behind T.Y. Hilton, who had 5 catches for 46 yards. 11 targets, so inefficient with the downfield and all that. That connection hasn't come back, but he's still going to get in the end zone. Can do a little bit more as a number one receiver, and that's what you want to see. So Jordan Wilkins didn't look that great, 14 carries, 40 yards. Naeem Hines actually looked like the better back. He was drafted ahead of him, overall back, so we'll have to see how that develops if Marlon Mack continues to be out. But the yardage there, the split, nothing too exciting there for the Colts backfield until someone can emerge there and be successful. Our next game, this is pretty much all Ravens, 47-3. Joe Flacco, pretty much like a practice there for him, came out swinging, 25 for 34, 236 yards, 3 TDs. Good connection with all three of his receivers who all scored. The new ones, Michael Crabtree, John Brown, Willie Snead, but spread the ball around. Got tight ends involved even without Hayden Hurst. He had Nick Boyle, Max Williams, and Mark Andrews. So very frustrating, but good news for Flacco if you try to stream him in some favorable matchups like this one ended up being there. So not bad at all. The TDs. It's not always going to be like this and play out evenly. Kenneth Dixon got the touchdown, was a more effective back than Alex Collins, who lost a fumble there, got benched briefly, and then they got way up ahead where they were preserving Collins. So I think that's actually a good sign for Collins. At least he got in the end zone despite that lost fumble for you to salvage the day a little bit as an RB2. But we'll have to see going forward if we see a bigger role there. And Lamar Jackson involved in the rushing offense as well, 7 for 39. So that was an interesting wrinkle. It's not going to happen in all these games. They're not going to be in control from the get-go and be able to experiment and do whatever they want. But that's exactly what happened here. And I expect it still to be a lot of Alex Collins and early downs. But that spreading route, the ball, I think that's going to continue with Flacco. On the other side of things with the Bills, not much to see there. Nathan Peterman was awful. Josh Allen was awful. LeSean McCoy couldn't get going because of the game flow. Nobody really stepped up in the passing game, either Zay Jones or Kelvin Benjamin. So terrible matchup. We'll see if things improve here, but not high expectations for anything in the Bills offense going forward. Now, ever since I started this podcast, people have asked me, who do I like to win these games? And with the fantasy advice that I give out, I look at these games pretty closely, the over-unders, and make my game picks up there against the spread on sportingnews.com. You can check out those. But it's important to be at the right site and bet, as well as picking the right teams to bet on, the spread and all that. And the only answer is MyBookie. MyBookie has been doing this for years. They're a fantastic group there where they're going to set you up to win big. You're going to play, and you're going to get paid right away. So I can't recommend that site enough there. And you can also play the fantasy spin of the game and kind of bet the over-under on a player's particular fantasy point. So that's fantastic. And best news of all is that they're offering a special deposit match bonus there if you use the promo code Locked On. So you can use that promo code Locked On, MyBookie, MyBookie. Check it out. They have live in-game betting, the best player perks that you'll find in the business. So I can't urge you enough to try it. If you're into fantasy football, into reality football, knowing who's going to win these games and want to put the knowledge to the test, do that and win some nice cash there at MyBookie. MyBookie, use that promo code Locked On. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.com. Now let's continue here with our week one Sunday takeaways here for fantasy football. And we saved a game that we had to spend quite a bit of time on here for next. And that's the Saints and a Buccaneers. It's 48-40. The Bucs pulled a shocker. The shocker of shockers. And Ryan Fitzpatrick was all over the field. 21 of 28, 417 yards, 4 TDs passing. He also had 12 rushing attempts for 36 yards and a TD. So Ryan Fitzpatrick, if you played him in GPP and DFS, you're very happy. If you went way contrarian and you got a monster game from the best scoring quarterback of the week, and that tells you a lot about fantasy football there. But Mike Evans, a monster, 7 reception, 147 yards, and a TD. DeSean Jackson, 5 catches, 146 yards, TDs. Big plays were just happening all over the field. O.J. Howard made a big play. Chris Godwin scored a short touchdown. It was just a pick-apart of the secondary that has some good players. Marshawn Lattimore, Marcus Williams, and some others, they just got ripped in this game. Now, do I expect this to continue against the Eagles? I doubt it. We know Ryan Fitzpatrick is streaky. The Bucs can really run the ball in this one. 19 for 69 for Peyton Barber. Fitzpatrick was a runner there. So now Jackson is dealing with a concussion coming out of this game. Evans, we haven't seen this in a while, but that's nice to see him explode there without Jameis Winston and have a big Mike Evans-type game that we expect. So otherwise, Cameron Brate empty in this column. That Harvard connection, I think it's a little bit misleading. I think when you look at it in the numbers, the Howard-Fitzpatrick thing is a little bit better. So Bucks rushing attack, even Ronald Jones inactive for the game. I don't know if I trust Barber at all. Barber continues to struggle like that. I think you'll see Jones get an opportunity, at least in the background, to try to be active and productive on game day. But for right now, you feel best about Evans. The Jackson concussion curbs that and could be more of a fluky boomer bust type game for him. So I think it's hard to get take any of this and say it's going to apply to the next game for the Bucs, but Evans definitely looking good as the best development there. On the Saints side of things, Drew Brees, this is what you want sometimes with Drew Brees. If you're an owner, you want the Saints defense to struggle for them to get behind, and then Drew Brees just goes to town. He did 37 for 45, 439 yards, 3 TDs. What a game for Brees. They just didn't cover Alvin Kamara or Michael Thomas. Kamara, 8 carries for 21 yards, two TDs, but the game flow didn't hurt him because he also had 9 catches for 112 yards and a TD there. So he continues the incredible efficiency with an explosive game here against a bad Bucs defense. Michael Thomas, also a monster here. 16 of 17 targets caught for 180 yards and a touchdown. Ted Ginn had 5 for 68 and a TD. there. So he's still involved in the offense, but a lot of Thomas, a lot of Kamara with no Mark Ingram. That's great for fantasy football and Breeze to see going. So I think you'll see Kamara Thomas going ahead and dominating there as high first-round picks, really early second-round pick maybe for Thomas. But both those guys are going to keep bringing it, and that's good to see. Sometimes you want a compact rushing and passing game, and I think Ginn has to be owned in a lot of leagues because right now Traquan Smith, Cameron Meredith was inactive. Austin Carr is a slot guy. He's going to be involved with this offense. Benjamin Watson, 444, not bad. For a PPR tight end, a guy that you can look to pick up as well with those injuries piling up at that position. Our next game there that we look at is the Jaguars over the Giants, 20-15. Leonard Fournette, the story there, looking good early. 9 carries for 41 yards, 3 catches for 14 yards, but comes up with a hamstring. T.J. Yeldon kind of picks up where he left off. Not nearly as effective, but still had 17 touches for 69 yards and a TD. So Yeldon is a clear handcuff, and Fournette is hamstring enough to miss the Patriots game in week 2. And if anything happens in the future, we know Fournette. That's why you had to box Fournette with Yeldon as the handcuff there. Keelan Cole we liked, but again, limited ceiling for this passing game when they're running and dominating with defense. 3 catches, 54. 4 targets. D.D. Westbrook was actually better in the PPR, 5 catches, 51 yards. So that's going to be one of the higher games you get out of this receiving core just because of if they can dominate an opponent like this, then it's going to be rough. But in a game like the Patriots, we're going to have to put the ball up a little bit more. I could see that change, especially if Fournette is out here coming in week 2. On the Giants side of things, Saquon Barkley was having a miserable day. Then he broke off an incredible 68-yard touchdown, 18 carries, 106 yards. So very strong debut for Barkley. Even with the game flow going out of hand, they fed it to him. He scored when they were kind of back. He also had 2 catches for 22 yards. So Saquon Barkley is the real deal, real talent, can make things happen even against a tough defense. Same thing with Odell Beckham Jr. Good to see him back healthy and producing after the big contract. 11 catches, 111 yards on 15 targets. So could have been a bigger game if he had scored there, but you'll take that from Beckham in a matchup where you probably curbed your expectations because of the Jacksonville defense and coverage. Sterling Shepard was good. PPR value there with 5 catches for 48. But Beckham looks fantastic, and Barkley looks great, and that's what you want to see. Again, kind of the combination that you have in the Saints and Kamara and Thomas, that's what you get with these two guys and lock in there. Eli Manning still didn't look good, so if we're looking for a streamer, it's going to be tough. In a game like this, you weren't going to play him, but good to see him at least distributing to get his weapons involved. Our next game was our first tie of the 2018 season. The Browns 21, the Steelers 21. Tyrod Taylor struggled in this game for the Browns, but when you look overall in his numbers, it was pleasing for fantasy. 15 of 40 passing, tough weather conditions there, but 197 yards, TD, interception, sacked 7 times, so under tremendous pressure, but also had 8 carries for 77 yards and a TD. So that made more than made up for some of the difficulties he had with protecting the ball and being protected himself. So Taylor's going to be useful in fantasy, and this is the running part of it is why. Carlos Hyde was very good as well in this game with this 22 carries, 62 yards, not a great average there, pretty good Steelers run defense, but got in the end zone, had a catch for 3 yards, so pretty good debut for Carlos Hyde there as their runner. Nick Chubb will have to wait his turn here. Duke Johnson didn't get targeted much, not involved, so this is a concern in a close game like this where they didn't get totally out of hand, and at some point the Steelers had a 14-point lead that still didn't get Duke Johnson going, so that is a concern. Jarvis Landry was solid. That picked up where he left off with the Dolphins. 15 targets, inefficient, but 7 catches for 106, so that's only going to go up. Josh Gordon wasn't targeted much, only 3 times, although he played most of the game. So that's going to go up. 1 catch for 17 yards, but he made it count with an awesome touchdown there. David Njoku, disappointing, banged up there, so still curb on Njoku for a while, but Landry and Gordon legitimately good to go here. Antonio Callaway not to be found there with Rashard Higgins being there, but still it's going to flow through mainly Landry and Gordon in the passing game and Hyde in the running game for the Browns. On the other side of things, Ben Roethlisberger struggled, but he still had a TD and 335 yards, threw 3 picks. The TD went to Antonio Brown, of course, 9 catches for 93 yards, Studley start, 16 targets, so a lot left on the table. Juju Smith-Schuster continues where he left off as a rookie, 5 catches for 119 yards. So those two guys mainly involved in the receiving game than Studley as ever. But Le'Veon Bell out. We told you to pick up James Conner. What a production here with the volume. 31 carries, 135 yards, 2 TDs. Did have an unfortunate fumble lost, so that may curb the enthusiasm, but none of Jalen Samuels in there. He also had 5 catches for 57 yards, so 36 touches. That's way more than the Bell volume that we're used to in 192 yards plus those two scores. So that they gave him Bell volume was an indication that they're trying to send a message to Bell. If he comes back, obviously Connor's going to be limited with his role, but it could cut into Bell a little bit. But so far, as long as Bell's out, you're going to keep rolling with Connor. It doesn't matter what matchup you're in. Now, I'm pleased to announce that as we start to upgrade to Experts Edition here on Locked On Fantasy Football, that we have another show here on the network to help you, Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. It's your news, injury updates, those kind of basic things you need to know to make up your lineups and decide who's the risk and who's not there based on the injuries. And Ethan Turner does a good job to update you on that. So happy that we have another show here dedicated to fantasy football on the network. And it should be exciting to have us both guide you through the season there. So check out that show for sure. And check out as we start to raise the level of our game here on Locked On Fantasy Football. Now let's continue looking at the games here. A lot more to get going with week one. The Patriots, ho-hum there. The disappointment there was Chris Hogan. 277 and 3 touchdowns for Tom Brady, but only 1 catch for Chris Hogan for 11 yards on 5 targets. So that little seemed a little off. The guy stepping in was Philip Dorsett. 7 catches, caught all of his targets, 66 yards and a TD. Gronked. 7 catches, 123 yards on 8 targets and a TD, and James White was more effective than Rex Burkhead this particular game because he found the end zone. But Burkhead struggled running a little bit, 64 yards there. So it was a ho-hum game for Burkhead, very disappointing game for Hogan. But we know with the Patriots, that can be a wild ride. And the Jaguars next week, you got to cool off on Hogan, Dorsett, and the rest. I think the only guy you look at is Gronkowski there, and I might stay away from the backfield here in week two. On the Texans side of things, Deshaun Watson struggled, got sacked 3 times, had a touchdown interception, but ran for 40 yards, had 176 yards passing, so it wasn't terrible, but it was disappointing with the things happening. Will Fuller wasn't inactive for this game. DeAndre Hopkins was held in check by the Patriots. That was a little bit easier with Fuller out, but still 8 catches, 78 yards. I think things will get better against the Titans next week. Bruce Ellington, second straight game where he's had 4 catches and a TD against the Patriots, filling in for Fuller, 37. So he's going to be a key part of this offense. They don't have a tight end there. They don't have Braxton Miller anymore. Jordan Thomas could be a factor, the rookie at tight end at some point. We had 1 catch for 27 yards. But Hopkins and Watson will have better days, especially if they have the threat of Fuller. And then Miller, disappointing because he didn't get the touch. And Alfred Blue looked like the better back. They both ran the ball effectively. So good news for Miller. But the Blue touchdown pilfering is still happening there in Houston. Our next game, this was the longest game because of a couple delays of lightning. Ryan Tannehill, 2 TDs, 2 interceptions here, 230 yards. The Dolphins win 27-20. And this one, the takeaway is that Frank Gore was even with Kenny Drake for most of the game. They got both involved. Kenny Drake was the guy involved in the pass game, but 17 touches for 66 for him. Gore had 9 for 61. So I think that split of touches is going to be there. The story here was Kenny Stills. With no Devontae Parker, no Jarvis Landry moving on. We thought Albert Wilson or Danny Amendola might step in, but nope. Stills is the go-to guy, trustworthy guy. 4 of his 5 targets caught for 106 yards and 2 TDs. So Kenny Stills should be picked up in all leagues here and played because he's definitely the go-to guy. For Tannehill on the other side, Marcus Mariota had a rough game, had 2 interceptions, 103 yards. And Blaine Gabbert also came in and struggled with an interception. Delanie Walker had 4 catches, 52 yards for 7 targets, but that's the end of his season here as he breaks his ankle. Huge blow for a tight end 1. Corey Davis looked pretty good, 6 for 62 and 13 targets, so he's going to have to pick up more of the slack. Deion Lewis, notable, really out-touched Derrick Henry. Henry had 11, while Deion Lewis had 21 touches and turned that into 110 yards and a TD rushing. So there you go, that Lewis was ahead of Henry. Henry, the game flow was out of hand. They were trailing. The quarterback situation, Walker going down, a lot of ugliness there. Rishard Matthews was blanked, so I think there'll be better days for the Titans offense, but you have to say this was pretty darn disappointing. But takeaway here, stay away from Mariota for a while as he's banged up and Walker's lost. But Lewis, you got to be all in on. He's going to be a bigger, bigger part of this offense going forward. For the next game, we go to the Chiefs Chargers. Patrick Mahomes is the story here, 256 yards and 4 TDs. Well, he's the co-story because Tyreek Hill scored on a punt return. He also scored 2 touchdowns in the passing game with long bombs, 7 catches, 169 yards. So he was locked in. Pretty much everyone else was forgotten. Nothing of Travis Kelce. They shut him down. The Chargers in 1 of 6. Sammy Watkins, 3 for 21. So that Mahomes-Hill connection is real. So it's a good stack in DFS going forward. I think it's a play that you can definitely look at here in Week 2 against Pittsburgh. There, and Kareem Hunt, Spencer Ware cutting in a little bit, but still not as effective. 16 carries for 49 yards. I think that'll be fine. Hunt and Kelce will get theirs, but looks like Hill is going to get his every week. And Mahomes is definitely looking like a guy that, even in a tough matchup coming through, that you can look at more. Phillip Rivers had an easy matchup. The Chiefs' defense is pretty awful, so start your quarterbacks against the Chiefs here. So Roethlisberger, things are looking good for him. 424 yards, 3 TDs. Had an interception there for Rivers, but distributed well. Melvin Gordon was a beast here. 15 for 64 rushing, 9 for 102 passing, and then still had room for Austin Eckler behind him. He had 10 touches, had 126 yards and a TD himself. So Gordon didn't get the touchdown. Eckler scores, both of them effective. Mike Williams out of the gate and well here. 5 catches for 81 yards on 6 targets. You had Keenan Allen go 8 for 108 on 11 targets of TD. So the Chargers' offense looks legitimately good. Their defense was disappointing if you played that defense. But overall, the offense is in a groove here and a lot of good fantasy options. And Rivers looking fantastic. And trust all the Chargers going forward because it helps if their defense struggles a little bit where they're going to have to open things up like that. So watch out for that. Panthers-Cowboys 16-8 was the final here for that game. Not much offense. Cam Newton did a lot more running in this offense, had 58 yards and a touchdown on the ground, only 161 yards passing. Christian McCaffrey was disappointing. He did lose a fumble. He had 16 touches for 95 yards, but losing a fumble is tough. So the volume was there for McCaffrey. It's going to stay there. And with Greg Olsen now out, probably out for the season, 2 catches for 33 yards. That's it. So they'll have to find some more production there. Devin Funchess, only 3 catches for 41. DJ Moore got 1 run here for 3 yards. So the rookie's still being incorporated into the offense. So going to cool a little bit on the Panthers other than Newton, McCaffrey in the short term with Olsen out. On the Cowboys side of things, no one available that I know. Cole Beasley in the PPR could be useful with 7 for 73 and 8 targets as a leading receiver. But other than Ezekiel Elliott, who had to struggle a little bit, got going in the second half to have 15 runs for 69 yards, also added 3 catches for 17 and a TD. Pretty good in a tough matchup to come through, but right now you're not looking at any of the other Cowboys. Our next game here is the Cardinals and Redskins, and Adrian Peterson was the story here for the Redskins. 26 carries, 96 yards, only 3.7 average, but had a TD. He had also had 2 catches for 70 yards, but Chris Thompson was right behind him as the game flow was really in the favor of the Redskins. Their running game looked very good. Their blocking was very good. 11 touches there for 128 yards for Chris Thompson. So that helped Alex Smith with a solid Alex Smith type day, the 215-2 that we always expect from him in these type of matchups. Jordan Reed got in the end zone as well. Jamison Crowder, a little bit of a good thing there, but Paul Richardson, Josh Doctson, not trusting any of those guys going forward. I think it's going to be a lot of the running game. Thompson is definitely looking like a stud. And Peterson, I think just be aware, in a tougher matchup, he's not going to be as productive. And on the Reds, on the Cardinals side of things, Sam Bradford really looked bad. And Larry Fitzgerald, 7 for 76. That was actually as best as he could do on 10 targets here because of how Bradford was. And then the game flow got out of hand. They didn't really get David Johnson involved the way that Bruce Arians did with Mike McCoy. That's got to be corrected here. But ended up with 67 yards on 14 touches and a touchdown there. So not bad for David Johnson. It could have been better. Chase Edmonds looks like definitely a worthy backup. He got playing time when the game was completely out of hand and spelling Johnson. So Johnson, they got to feed more. They just paid him a lot. Give him the ball, and let's hope Mike McCoy figures that out after week one. Our next game, as we get to the penultimate game there on Sunday, is the Seahawks and Broncos. The Seahawks, Russell Wilson had two picks, but you'll be fine with that because he had 298 yards passing, three TDs, solid Russell Wilson-type game. Will Dissly, the blocking tight end, somehow was the most effective player. Product, I think, of Doug Baldwin being out. Brandon Marshall's also scored 3 for 46 in a touchdown against his longtime former team. Tyler Lockett also got a bump with Baldwin out. 3 catches, 59 yards, and a TD on 4 targets. So Chris Carson was definitely the most effective back for the Seahawks. 7 carries for 51 yards there and a 7.3 average. Rashad Penny got into the mix with 11 touches, but only 43 yards. So work in progress to see where we get with the Seahawks on this running back by committee with these two young guys. But it's going to be tough to see where these targets are spread without Doug Baldwin. And then we'll see if Baldwin can play with that knee injury. Yet another knee injury after struggling with that in the preseason. Now we look at the Broncos side of things. Their backfield was an even split of production. Well, Devontae Booker did play, but the two rookies, Royce Freeman, 15 for 71. Philip Lindsay, the change of pace, undrafted free agent who made the team, also 15 for 71. So weird, weird number there. Unfortunately, if you started Freeman, it was Philip Lindsay who found the end zone with a long catch for 29 yards, 2 for 31 and a TD. So it was a committee. We've had some twists and turns. I think the Broncos kept Lindsay under wraps. They were talking about Booker starting over Freeman. Then all of a sudden Freeman was ahead of Booker. And now it's a split between Freeman and Lindsay in terms of the touches. So frustrating there. Vance Joseph and Bill Musgrave definitely get the frustration award for the backfield over the Patriots this week. So we'll see how that plays. Both backs are effective. I think Freeman's the early down guy. Lindsay's going to be more later down guy with Booker kind of fading. Here, as expected, Case Keenum and that chemistry with Emmanuel Sanders up 329 yards, 3 TDs, 3 picks, but looked good when he found Sanders 10 for 135 and 11 targets and a TD, 6 for 63 on 10 targets and a TD for Demaryius Thomas. That's all you're asking for as a fantasy player to get your wide receivers involved. And much like Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs in Minnesota, Keenum did that as a facilitator, even though he was awful here with those 3 picks that almost cost his team the game. They end up winning, but good news on the Sanders front, and Philip Lindsay definitely a pickup in all league formats. And our final game was the Packers and the Bears, and this one was incredible. We thought Aaron Rodgers might be done again for the season. He comes out like Willis Reed there in the fourth quarter, revs it up. The Packers are down 20-3. He comes up with 3 TDs. This is why he's the best in the game. 286 yards, 3 TDs. No picks there, even with all the pressure from Khalil Mack, Deshaun Kizer, that pick that almost cost them the game early. But Rodgers also had a rush for 16 yards. He got everyone involved that you want, except for Jimmy Graham, who disappeared with 2 catches for 8 yards on 4 targets. But Randall Cobb had the long touchdown, 75-yarder to beat the Bears, 9 for 142 on 10 targets. Devontae Adams was fantastic as well. 5 catches, 88 yards on 8 targets and TD. Geronimo Allison, 5 catches, 69 yards on TD. So that's a straight-up split here. Graham was an afterthought. He's a red-zone-dependent guy. This time Montgomery is not involved either. Four touches there. Jamal Williams is just going to be hard to get going, especially in a game flow like this. He's a limited power back, doesn't do much, 15 carries for 47 yards. So I think there's a lot of mouths to feed in Green Bay. I think Adams and Rodgers are the safest of all these to be most consistent. So that's what you have to take away from that. On the Bears side of thing, what I took away is that Jordan Howard looked fantastic. He had 15 carries for 82 yards, 5 for 25. I would have kept feeding him in both the running and passing games there. So Howard looks good. Not surprising. Matt Nagy knows how to run offenses with running backs. That's also because Mitchell Trubisky didn't look good. 171 yards passing, only 23 of 35, sacked four times. Saved his day by rushing for a touchdown on 32 yards as well. But overall, disappointing for the way Trubisky handled this offense. Trey Burton, much ballyhooed. Tight end pickup, one catch for 15 yards. Anthony Miller, the much ballyhooed slot. Rookie receiver, 2 for 14 for three. You had Allen Robinson leading the way, which you hope, because you drafted him as a wide receiver, too. 4 for 61 and 7 targets. So definitely a work in progress. They're spraying the ball around, which can hurt all the receiving value of everyone. But it's clear that Howard is the guy consistently is going to be the tick of this offense that is the rock. He's the key to the winning games, especially with the defense now having Khalil Mack and the effect he can have. And he had a huge impact here. The Bears defense, big game there, a unit that you can start. So running game and defense, it could be very much like the Jaguars, more than you think, the Bears formula. And something you have to keep in mind and don't just lock into playing all their receivers every week. So there you have it. There's your roundup Monday for week one, all the key takeaways in fantasy football. So thanks so much for listening. We'll come back tomorrow with our weekly waiver wire conversation there and break it down and guys you need to pick up based on Lily's injuries and things we've talked about today. So for Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.